Hey, what's up? This is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 13 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. This is a great one. This is with Jill Silva, who is an expert on Kansas City barbecue. After you've listened to this, you will want to get on a plane and fly right to Kansas City and follow her trip. This is part of my Barbecue City Guide series that I've been putting together, and she walks us through if you have 1 or 2 days in Kansas City. She gives information as to where to go right when you get off the plane, what to eat at every specific barbecue joint, what they're known for, what you should order, what's really cool to see, if there's a cool pit or a person to talk to. This is just phenomenal. I can't thank Jill enough. If you like what you're hearing, please subscribe. I do appreciate it. I'll be adding at least 2 of these per week. But enjoy this. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Good. Thanks for helping me out with the Kansas City area. So if you have 1 day or a weekend, where are places that you definitely should not miss out on? And if you can give us a little context about the history of Kansas City barbecue.
Okay, well, I made some assumptions for this trip. In case you were flying in, I guess that's kind of where we'll start. Okay. The city is definitely a car city, so if you're coming here and you want to really hit a lot of barbecue, you're going to need a car.
Okay, perfect.
But you can fly in, and I'll start you with the first place you could go, even if you can't really get too far from the airport. It's a new place. It's called Scott's Kitchen and Catering at Hangar 29.
Oh, perfect.
Very long. No barbecue in the name at all, but... this guy went to an Enterprise, it was an old Enterprise rental place, and put a barbecue in. It's lunch only. He used to be on the contest circuit and just, you know, decided, hey, now's the time to do a barbecue place.
Oh, interesting.
So this little shop is very cute. It looks like an airplane hangar, kind of, more or less. I mean, small, about 40 seats, and it's just very cool.
And it's just open for lunch?
Just open for lunch, yeah. And it's right next to the airport, so very easy to get to.
So that's a perfect first place.
Yeah. Do you want addresses on this?
I'll put addresses in the show notes. But maybe what do you recommend getting there, or what have you gotten there before?
Okay. So I've had the brisket barbecue tacos.
Oh.
And I think that's a great place to start. He also does breakfast, and I haven't done breakfast yet, but that would, if you really want to start your day off right, I mean, start with breakfast, right?
Perfect.
Barbecue. It's not just for breakfast anymore, right?
No, so, definitely not.
Borrowing a Kansas City Barbecue Society little motto there. So, yeah, you know, the earlier in the morning you can start, the better. So you could start with breakfast. He has bowls. He has tacos. He has very traditional things as well. We're going to see a lot of traditional meats newfangled as we go on this tour.
Perfect. Well, which is kind of the way that barbecue is progressing across the United States.
Absolutely. I mean, I think you have to keep in mind that we have 100 barbecue restaurants in Kansas City, maybe more. That's the Visitors Bureau's count. So if you're traveling with somebody who might happen to be a meat restrictor or a vegan or a vegetarian, you know, these guys are starting to get smart. They want to make sure that they can service everyone. So there's some interesting things on just about every menu these days. But we will hit some traditional stuff. So this one's a little bit of a mix of you know, standard. You can get your ribs. He has a couple of pits. He has barbecue. Hickory is what he's using as the wood. He has a former chef at a fine dining restaurant who happens to be his pit master. And they're doing a lovely job out there. They're only a couple months old, so.
Oh, great. Thank you for that. That's a great tip. Perfect.
Yeah, kind of a new one. So so that would be my first one.
Okay.
And then as you get in your car, because we are a car culture here, and you start traveling, I'm going to assume you're headed towards downtown, mm-hmm. you know, if you're visiting. You're going to want to stop by in Parkville.
Parkville, okay.
Parkville is a river city. Right there on the river.
Okay.
Floods sometimes. It's got great history. The first thing you'll see as you go into town will be Park University. Beautiful, you know, buildings, very tall, kind of a, I don't even know what architecture style it is, but stone buildings, very beautiful, rising out of the trees. It's just very picturesque and pretty. Go to the main town. This is kind of a destination place for people.
Okay.
There's antiques. There's all kinds of fun things in town. So it's just a great place to go as a tourist.
Perfect.
And at the end of the street, as you cross over the railroad tracks, there's another new barbecue place.
Oh, great.
We keep adding to that 100. This is probably 102. You know? and that place is owned by a man named Shannon Kimball. And what you'll see is two Pullman cars, like train cars,
yeah.
Right? And a caboose. And they're kind of laced together with this very odd deck situation.
Okay.
But it's really kind of fun. So you get to actually eat inside the train cars.
That's funky and fun and great for kids too, if you bring kids.
Great for kids. Also, they have a lot of live music on the deck on the weekends. So that's a plus too, if you just want to hang out and drink a few beers. And so what's fun about it's at on Main Street too. I mean, we are on Main Street right now. So that's kind of paints a picture for you. So this guy won a sauce contest, the American Royal Barbecue Sauce Contest, a couple of years back.
That's impressive.
Yeah, it's best sauce on the planet. pretty big honor. He does Firebug Grillin' Sauces.
Okay.
That name may be changing. He's kind of reorganizing these days, but you can probably still find those sauces online if you want to try them out in L.A.
Oh, cool. Yeah, definitely. I'll put a link to that for sure.
Yeah.
I got a little enamored with the whole train car thing. What's the name of the place?
It's called Pullman Barbecue.
Pullman Barbecue. Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Sorry about that.
You might have said it. I got so excited that there's trains.
There's trains. It's pretty cool. And there's actual live trains going by too. So you'll hear, you know, a little bit of train freight traffic going through. And this is a recurring theme also as we move around Kansas City, because of course we are in the center of the country, so a lot of trains are commerce are still going through Kansas City. So
okay, cool.
Pretty cool. I would say on this one I would go for the sampler platter.
Okay.
Try a little bit of everything. He does pulled pork, he does some excellent burnt ends. And in Kansas City, we're known for burnt ends. I don't know how much you know about that, but shall I regale you? Or
sure, yeah, or, no, I do. I'm a huge, huge fan of burnt ends. But for people that might not know.
For people that don't know, we're kind of known for burnt ends. And near as I can tell, this goes back to Arthur Bryant at some point in the 70s. It was written about that Calvin Trillin wrote that there were these wonderful burnt ends, these little pieces of the brisket tip that got burnt, that were fatty, chewy, and delicious. And the people working there would hand them out while you were in line. They were for free. You were in luck if you were in, you know, time to get a little piece of that action there. And Calvin Trillin wrote about it, kind of went crazy. And just about every restaurant in Kansas City now has burnt ends.
It's an actual dish that people get too.
Yeah. It's an actual dish, yeah. And what it is the point of the brisket. So the part where, you know, it'll get kind of incinerated or at least a little crispy. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of debate on this whole thing. And I was actually interviewed maybe a year ago for a series on our local PBS station.
Okay.
And it was called Burnt Legends. So people might want to look that one up.
I'll put a link to that. I'm fascinated to check that out.
It's pretty fun. It got an Emmy nomination. It was really well done by Jonathan Bender, a food editor in town here. And anyway, I do appear on that, making some some comparisons and some cultural, viewpoints on where that all came from. But near as I can tell, that's kind of where we got that. Now, just about every restaurant has it. Now, you can say that's a really tiny piece of meat, right? So there wouldn't be enough to go around, and that would probably be true. So there's also a debate about what are the true burnt ends. Some are fattier, chewier than others. Some might have a little bit of the rest of the brisket chopped into it. Might be a little bit singed later. So keep your eye open for that.
So some of it's not 100% authentic brilliance.
There could be a little controversy about that. Yes, yes.
Interesting. I didn't know that controversy. I know that people have talked about other using other meats as burn-ins, and that's a controversy I've seen online.
Yeah, well, I've seen that too, and I don't even know how you get a burn end from a pig, but hey, they don't have briskets, but whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, so a little bit of creative license going on and different techniques. And recently, the Kansas City Star, which I used to work there, they had a bracket during March Madness.
Okay.
And the winner, I will have to say, I would not have chosen. But hey, let the people speak, right? Everybody has their own opinion. So anyway, I think at Pullman Barbecue, there's some very good burn ends
Perfect. Okay, cool.
going on.
Excellent.
And the next place I'll take you also has some really great burnt ends. I would say the next place you should definitely hit is one of my all-time favorite places
Oh, great.
for a lot of reasons here. But Jones Barbecue, they're on Caw Drive in a very industrial part of town in Kansas City, Kansas. Again, we have freight trains running through this area. And so when I've done radio interviews there, we have the honking of the train as they're going by, and we have to stop and
Too loud of an ambience.
wait for it to go. So what I love about this place, these women, it's women pit masters.
Nice,
Yes.
nice, nice.
Don't find enough of those out there
No.
doing their own restaurants. Two African American women grew up in the whole barbecue family. Their father worked at an old place called Hezekiah's, which does not exist anymore. And Hezekiah, by legend, he was probably 7 feet tall, and he was a pretty scary dude. And he had a dug-in pit. I mean, you actually step down into
Wow.
the pit. Yeah. So the girls, when they were little, wrapped sandwiches there, and then eventually their brother took over. Unfortunately, he got sick and passed away. But while he was sick, they prepared and learned how to do barbecue. So then they kind of hopped around for a while. They were in KCK over by the Civic Center. Then they had a cart. Then they vanished for a couple of years. But they just couldn't stop. They just could not stop. So they popped up at an old taco stand.
Oh, that's
And
so
so it's in
great.
this parking lot near Wild Woolies. It's a crazy, crazy grocery store name, but it's a grocery store. And they're
Wouldn't
in
have
that.
guessed that.
Yeah, sounds a little bit more like a liquor store, maybe,
Yeah, or
but
a saloon or something.
yeah. So it's a big parking lot. And so there's this taco place there, a former taco place. So you can't eat in here. You have to be prepared to either do what I do, bring my lawn chairs and sit on the asphalt,
Okay.
or take it out with
Okay.
you. But it's a walk-up window, and the two women are Mary and Deborah and Jones, the Jones sisters, as I call them.
Okay.
And Deborah is the pit master, and the pit is very funky, very super funky. It is something she got from the salvage shop in that same set of shops in that parking lot.
Okay.
She got it wheeled on over. It is chained to a chain link fence, so she does all of her cooking outdoors, rain or shine. And she's just a love. These women are just lovely, lovely people. And I think, in my mind, they have the best burnt ends, the most authentic burnt ends. And they're probably not the burnt ends that most, I don't know, most suburban people think of here in Kansas City. They're chewy, they're a little charcoaly,
Perfect.
and yeah, they're an experience.
I want to
So
go. You've sold that place so wonderfully in the best way, and I want to fly out tomorrow and go. Oh, that's I had that. That's a great tip. Oh, I'm so happy. Thank you so much.
yeah, they are fabulous. I'm trying to make them famous because,
Let's
hey,
do it. I'll help you.
they just don't get enough recognition. And man, they've just been doing it for so long. And they're just small. They're just small, and it's really traditional. Everything they do is traditional.
Good for them. Oh,
But I love it.
cool.
So any day of the week, I'll go out there and just hang out. If you go, try to spend some time, try to chat with them. They're just two lovely women.
Are they open on Mondays and Tuesdays? Is that something that's pervasive in
You know, I think they're open. I should have checked that.
I'll
I
put the
think
I'm
they're
gonna put
open.
the hours of these places in my notes, and
Yeah.
I'll have a companion blog piece too.
No Sunday on this one. I know that. Saturday during the week she's always there.
Okay, perfect. Okay.
Weekends might be a little sketchier,
Okay.
but just fabulous ladies. And the dynamic between those two sisters is just right. So Slaps Barbecue would be our next place.
I've heard of that place.
Also in KCK in the Strawberry Hill neighborhood. And Strawberry Hill is a very interesting historical area of Kansas City where the Serbians and the Croatians came. They actually were working in the stockyards that you can see from Strawberry Hill,
Okay.
which are close to downtown, and of course, where we get a lot of our barbecue tradition from. They kept flooding down there, flooding and flooding. I think the last huge one was, I want to say 53, I might be a little off. In the 50s, there was a horrible flood down there. I think at that time, I'm told, most of the settlers decided to go up the hill to get away from all that flooding. So, hence, you get Strawberry Hill, and strawberries were growing, I think, on that hill. I've never seen any strawberries, but it's a fun little place, and it's coming back. You know, it was kind of not a great, interesting neighborhood for a long time for food. It just, you know, it was kind of an old neighborhood, kind of degenerating. Maybe that's not the right word. Just really the housing stock there was not bringing people in, and it was time for a revival. And
Yeah,
so
like a lot of
Slaps.
cities across the United States that are getting kind of like people moving back and then bringing, restaurants and.
Exactly. And so this neighborhood is going through a huge revival right now, which is really wonderful to see. And the houses are being moved into and
Oh, that's
taken
so
care
cool.
of. People are loving it. So meanwhile, while you have people moving in and doing great things with the housing stock there, you also have a revival of the downtown and the neighborhood area there. So Slaps was kind of one of the first ones to go in there a couple years ago. This is two brothers, Mike and Joe Pierce. If you've watched Barbecue Pitmasters ever, you would have seen Joe. And I think he went head to head at one point with Myron Mixon. So you can imagine what that might have been like.
Yeah.
And
It's always interesting to go
Joe
head to head
has
with
the
him.
personality to hang in there.
Oh.
Funny story was that he actually was not very far along in the competition circuit. He had just started competing when he got tapped for that
Oh,
show.
wow.
He has a great on personality, so I think that helped. But they also have fantastic barbecue, and they're doing really, really well. So they went into a little tiny place, and at first they were only going to do lunch, and if you weren't in line by about 10:30, you probably weren't getting, you know, by 1 o'clock they were sold out. The lines started early. And so I think they realized they needed to expand, and they have since put an outdoor seating area that's covered
Okay.
and heated out there. So you've got a
Nice.
patio.
That's smart.
So you go in the door and you snake around the tables and you make your order. And if there are no tables left, which there may not be, you're going to shoot out into that area. Which is kind of an outdoor expanded, you know, dining area.
Yeah, that's smart.
So these guys, I just checked their website today,
Okay.
and they're about to put a new menu out. So who knows exactly what will be on that new menu, but it's pretty safe bet that if you order a sampler platter, you're going to get a pretty good view. Their ribs are pretty awesome. You know, I Sampler. Whenever there's a sampler platter, that is my tip.
Okay, that's a
Why would
great
you
tip.
not? Why would you not get the sampler platter if they offer it, right? Try everything, and what you can eat, take home, or
No,
you know, throw
it's
in the cooler in the
bring it back to your hotel room. Yeah, eat in your car. Yeah, like you said.
car. Right.
Now, when it comes to beef for these joints, would there be like it's brisket, but is it sliced differently than say Texas style brisket slice?
Well, so we have the brisket going on, and it would be somewhat similar, I guess, to Texas, but we're doing a lot of rubs, and I know sometimes they only do salt and pepper, so that would be a difference right there. We also do a lot of pork. People don't know that, so you will find pulled pork in almost every establishment
Oh, that's
here.
excellent.
Some will have coleslaw on it, but some will not. So
Okay.
that depends. You're gonna find just about sausage is a big thing here too.
All right.
So you're gonna find all meats here.
Okay.
You'll find turkey and chicken. Sometimes you will find ham, not always, but every once in a while. So you know, people who want variety, this is the place
Yeah,
to be.
sounds like it. I didn't know about the sausage. I didn't know that was that prevalent.
Sausage has become a pretty big thing. The Jones sisters do a really interesting and good sausage. Actually, Scott's Kitchen does sausage with ghost pepper jack cheese in it.
Wow.
Sausage is really coming on here. And, it's a great thing to smoke while you're doing everything else. It's
Oh, yeah.
also a great way to use up your leftovers and, odd pieces. So
It's perfect for that. Excellent.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Wow. This is so insightful. Thank you.
So. So let's see. I would say, it slaps. Just about anything is fabulous.
Sampler, sure.
Yeah, sampler.
Okay.
Then I would go to, so that's kind of down home and just outside of downtown Kansas City. Let's go into downtown Kansas City.
Okay.
And now we're going to go down to our Freight House District.
Okay.
And that's where Lydia Bostanich came in. She's an Italian chef, not a barbecue chef, but she came in years ago out of New York City and put in a wonderful Italian restaurant about 20 years ago.
Oh,
and
wow.
That revitalized the whole area there.
I love her.
I
watched her on PBS forever.
On PBS. She's fantastic. Love her. She's really a fun person and wonderful to have her on our scene.
I didn't know that.
She started that whole area sort of thriving. We call it's the Freight House District, but it's a piece of the Crossroads neighborhood.
Okay.
And that whole place has exploded. We've got restaurant upon restaurant upon restaurant. Fiorella's Jack Stack, a long time legendary restaurant, went in that same Freight House area.
Okay.
So they revitalized the Freight House station. So that's historical. It's right next to our Union Station, which was also revitalized closely at about the same time. And so Fiorella's is really fun. There are more locations than this one, and each one has a really distinct personality. What I like about the Freight House is it kind of throws the ma and pop sort of thing in your face because it's pretty elegant. I wouldn't go so far as to say white tablecloths, although you can get white tablecloths at this restaurant, but they're just going after a very high level, very high end menu.
Okay.
And to that point, you can find Denver cut lamb ribs there, and you can also get their gigantic Flintstone size crown prime beef short ribs.
Oh, oh,
oh. So once you eat like three or four bites of this, you might be full for the entire day. So
it's
go
so
eat.
Rich and delicious.
Very
Unctuous.
Rich. And I kid you not, they are Flintstone size. They are enormous.
Okay.
So you're going to want to share this one.
Yeah. And of course, you have to take a photo of it before you eat it, right?
Incredible photos. I think you can find some of those online. Yeah.
Okay,
pretty amazing stuff. They also have really cool sides. I think they're one of the original cheesy corn side people. Also, a lot of people have imitated them. And then also they have these onion rings, gigantic, massive onion rings served on a spike.
I think I've seen that. I've
table,
seen a photo of that.
You know? Yeah. Looks like a little ring toss thing going on.
Exactly.
Pretty fun. One other thing that's pretty fascinating about this restaurant, they're celebrating 60 years as a restaurant family in barbecue this year. So it's the Fiorella family still runs it. They were one of the very first people to really get into the mail order business.
I used to get their catalog all the time. I don't know why I don't get any more, but yeah, I used to get it. It's gorgeous, gorgeous.
It is. And they were so forward thinking in this. They were doing that back in like the early 2000s, like 2001, 2002. They were putting together a whole way to ship this stuff across the country. So really way ahead of their time. Also, the originator, Jack Fiorella, whom I've had some snoot sandwiches with at least on one occasion, and I think we're scheduled for another one. He's a really fun guy, and he actually has brick pits in almost all of his restaurants.
Oh, that's nice.
And, you know, as we're converting over and we're becoming modern and we're eating more and more meat, that is becoming a rarity.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
So they're using a brick pits. They're just not as common. And a lot of people don't ask about the brick pits. While you're there, ask about the brick pits.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's great.
You may be able to take a look at them. I actually know the guy who built them. He's 86 years old, African-American gentleman. He is one of Jack's best friends. And he built all the brick pits.
That's so cool.
The Fiorella restaurants, except for the one in Lee's Summit.
Okay.
So, yeah, very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, those are – and seeing – when you get a chance to visit a pit, that's a huge treat for anybody. I think that if you get a chance, that people should definitely do that.
Yeah. It's you know, I might have been able to do that because of, you know,
possibly, yeah,
who I am and who I know, perhaps. But I, you know, talk to them about it at any rate, and I'm sure if it's possible, they'd be happy to show it to you.
Yeah.
It's really, you know, it's pretty amazing, and it's the history of our barbecue, you know, that won't be there forever.
Yeah, and sadly, it won't be.
Yeah. So love that place. And they have other locations. If you want to go out to Martin City, which is further south, a little more, it used to be country. It's now kind of part of the metro area. It would be a little bit more of a country atmosphere as opposed to the more upscale look and shine and feel of the Freight House.
Okay.
And they have a couple other restaurants around town, too. So,
cool.
Yeah, great family, good people to know. Of course, from there, you might as well get on over to Arthur Bryant's.
You have to.
You know, I don't think you can come to town without going to Arthur Bryant's. Now, Arthur Bryant's has two locations now as well.
Okay.
There's one out at the Legends, which is our Speedway area where we have the NASCAR races.
Okay, yeah.
And that is large and beautiful, but I would go to the original on 18th in Brooklyn.
Okay, 18th.
Yeah. You know, that's where all the politicians have gone. That's where Calvin Trillin, you know, wrote about and named them the, you know, best barbecue restaurant in America back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they continue on with new management and doing a good job. This is your direct link to Henry Perry, who was the very first person to do barbecue in Kansas City that we know of historically. African-American man who had a cart and, you know, built it into an empire. A lot of people saw what he was doing and followed suit. He trained Arthur's brother Charlie, and Charlie trained Arthur, and then my friend Bill Cheney, who built the pits for Fiorella's and sometimes maintains the pits for Arthur Bryant's, cleans them out and, you know, keeps them in good shape. He actually washed dishes for Arthur Bryant.
Oh, I didn't know that.
When he was a little kid. So,
yeah. So what should people expect when they come into Arthur Bryant's? Because it's unique. It's definitely different.
You know, I think it's very traditional of what we think a mom and pop restaurant should be. You look on the walls and there's all the famous people who've been there. You snake over to the line. There are people sitting all around you. There's another room off to the side. The floors are sometimes slick. you know, it's just, you know, people doing their thing. It's a good cross-section of Kansas City, a good cross-section of people who travel here. It has that old-school feel to it. And that's, I think, what people like about it. And don't forget, you have to have their fries.
Okay. Oh, wow. So what do you order? Do you order, is it a specific way? It's because I've had it, but I haven't. I've had it, like I told you offline. Someone shipped it to me, so I don't know how you.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, get yourself a beef sandwich or get yourself some burn-ins. Just be sure you get fries as a side. Their sauce is very interesting as well, so it's on the table. Use some of that. It's got a lot of celery seed. It's a little bit grainy. You won't find a sauce quite like it anywhere else.
Out of the sandwiches, it's sliced meat with and white bread on the side. Is that
yeah? Good? Well, some people say, you know, with maybe a hand right on the top of that bread, but It's pretty traditional. Definitely the white bread sandwiches. The white bread might be underneath it,
Okay.
and you know, meat's on top of it, and it's served on a you know, a platter, and you know, your fries would be on the side, and
Why
then
the
the
fries? The fries is phenomenal.
yeah, they're pretty phenomenal. They're well seasoned, and I suspect that they're fried in lard.
Oh.
You know, I think we're going old school here. There's just something so different about them. Yes.
Yeah, that's great. Now, I had heard something that they shut down a certain time of year to clean those pits. Is that true?
That is true. And that's when my buddy Bill Cheney and his crew go in and kind of clean the pits. It's always at, I believe it's the first week of January or right around New Year's.
Okay.
They close for just a couple days or a week and get things cleaned up, because if you don't, you know what happens, right? You can have a fire.
Fire, yes.
Fire, and that's never good.
No.
And of course, many, many restaurants have burned down over the years because of those fires.
Oh,
So
yeah. Across the United States,
good,
yeah.
good to maintain it as best you can.
Excellent. No, I agree. That's really cool that you know the guy that works on this pit. That's
Yeah,
amazing.
he's my buddy, my lunch buddy. Actually, we're gonna go out to lunch next week. He's gonna take me to a new barbecue place I haven't been to.
Oh,
That's
cool.
not new, but new to me.
Okay.
Yeah, he seems to know everybody, so he's a good person to go to lunch with.
Okay, well, maybe I can get check back in 6 months and do it like an updated version of this, just to continue with the new restaurants that are coming in.
Absolutely. So from there, you know, I would go to Gates, of course, another legendary family. They have multiple locations. I'd probably go to the one on Linwood, because that's the neighborhood, or, you know, roughly the area that we're in right now.
Okay.
Yeah, check them out.
Okay.
I hear that they have a local cherry soda on them, or they have a strawberry soda on the fountain there, which I would try out. I
Okay.
haven't had yet. But that would go back to, you know, barbecue, red drinks, very soul food, African American tradition.
Like
And
big
so,
red. Yeah.
Big Red, I would check that out with your barbecue for sure. You know, the Gates family is very well known here in town. They do, everything is really pretty wonderful. The experience is the hi, may I help you? You better know your order. It's a little bit like the soup Nazi back in the day with Jerry Seinfeld, where you had to know your order or you got booted out of line.
To
It's
go
not
back to the
quite
back of the
that
line.
bad. Yeah, it's not quite that bad, but it's sort of like they are so ready to help you, you better have your order together. So you might want to look at it online before you go, so you look like you know what you're doing.
That's smart. Yes, you don't look like a tourist.
Right. You want to know your order, and you want to get through that line, and then you want to get to the soda fountain. So.
Okay, excellent. Like, I think there's some Philly cheesesteak places that are like that too. Like, you have to know what you want, or you go, yeah, perfect.
It's just like you're blowing it here, you know.
Okay, that's good to know. I'll put links to their menu online to help people out.
Absolutely. And then, of course, Joe's KC. We would be remiss if we did not stop there. They're usually number one on the top of every top 10 list that's out there.
Always seem to be there, yeah.
And for pretty good reason. But I would go to their original.
Okay.
I have to be biased. Go to the gas station location.
I love that. I love seeing it online. Yeah.
Yeah, it's over in the Westwood area.
Okay.
Not too far from downtown. And again, this is one, if you go on a weekend, you will be in a line that goes out the door.
Wow.
And it will be probably an hour's wait before
okay.
you make
That's
your way up.
Okay.
When you get to the top and order, then you can get a table. Do not think that you can go and stake out a table before. No one in your party can do that. You will be in trouble.
You
so.
Know what? I like a rest. I prefer a restaurant that does that, actually, because it
yeah.
helps people out. Because if you order, you don't want to not have a place to sit.
Well, you still may be pretty crammed in there,
okay.
and you may not have a place to sit. But
okay.
Those are the rules, you
okay.
know. And the great thing is, while you're in line, look to the right, look to the left. There's going to be all kinds of sauces and rubs and different things you can buy to take home with
okay.
you. And it's also just a regular gas station. So, you know, if you need ho-hos, cupcakes, whatever.
Is it a working gas station? Could you fill up with gas there, too?
You can fill up with gas. It's a working gas station.
Okay.
Yeah. And I have taken quite a few celebrities here just because it is so novel, you know. And Anthony Bourdain was one. Ruth Reichel was another. You know, if people come to town and they say,
those
I can only
two big
one
celebrities.
Where do we want to go? I'm like, you know, Joe's KC is a pretty good representative.
Cool.
Again, their brisket's awesome. They have lots of very cool sandwiches they've made, which you're probably familiar with some of them.
Mm-hmm.
As the Z-Man would be probably their most famous and well-marketed barbecue
sandwich.
Yeah,
it's one of the most famous sandwiches, barbecue sandwiches in the United States because of that.
I would say in history, probably. It just, and an amazing little side fact here is that Doug Wargle, who is their public relations and marketing manager, was once an editor of mine. So we worked together at the Kansas City Star.
Ah, that's a nice connection. You're connected. You're all connected. Like, there's a web. It's
well,
like
you live in a town for a long time and you cover the scene.
For
that's
sure.
That's kind of what happens. But yeah, it's kind of a fun connection that
that's
we worked
a great
together.
Connection.
Yeah, he's a great guy. If you don't have one of the books that he wrote, Grand Barbecue History.
Oh, I don't have that. I'll buy that. Oh, that's.
You'll probably have to find it online because it was published by the Kansas City Star.
Okay.
Back in the, I think, the early 2000s. I can look up the date for you. But
okay.
There aren't a lot of copies out there, but it's a great little history book.
Oh,
so
I would love that. I would I'd eat that up.
And also, Joe's is working on their own cookbook right now. I'm not sure when it's due out, but I know they're working on it. So there should be recipes and more history and a lot of cool stories out there soon.
That's great.
Yeah.
So there should be adequate parking there.
It's a really fun place. Now, they've also opened a new place. I don't know if you're familiar with that, in our Power and Light District, and it's called...
I think I'd heard that they opened
it. Road Ice House.
What's it called
again? County Road Ice House.
Okay.
And it's taking sort of a Texas perspective. It's not really totally barbecue, if you ask them, but I see all of Joe's, you know, a lot of Joe's smoked meats on there. Got to kind of preview their menu. I haven't been in since they opened, but I did preview the menu with Jeff Chaney.
Okay.
I said that wrong. Jeff Staney. There we go. Speak well. and Jeff is, you know, quite the barbecue entrepreneur, so I'm sure it'll be a very hot place.
Oh,
so
nice.
another place in that sort of downtown crossroads area that people might want to visit.
Okay.
And I think we would be remiss not to finish up with Q39.
Okay.
Q39 is one of the new ones. And so Rob McGee is the owner. He is a CIA-trained chef, and that would be Culinary Institute of America.
Not the governmental agency.
Not the government. And so he's been in hotels and restaurants for years. He started a team, started competing on the circuit, won a lot of awards, and has since created not one, but two Q39s.
Okay.
One is on 39th Street, and the other one is out south on Antioch, and that one opened about a year ago. Now, I generally like to go to the originals, but on this one, I'm going to say you might want to go out south if you have a car and hit the Antioch one.
Okay.
Because if you get to go, or even if you don't, walk out that way, there is a glassed-in area where they're dealing with all their briskets. And you will see at certain times of the day, like, 20, 30 briskets stacked upon.
I love
one,
that.
You know, each one, they're either getting rubbed or maybe they've been just pulled out and then being sliced. And so you'll just kind of get the feel like you're back in the kitchen because you can look in there.
That is killer. That's so great.
Yeah, but you will miss it if you go out the door that you came in.
Okay.
So you have to go around to where the to-go people come and pick up their meats.
Oh.
Did a Facebook Live a while back with him on how to slice brisket and how you get burnt ends. And so
Are those available? Can you link to those after the fact, or is it only available to watch within 24 hours? Or, do you know that?
Oh, no. Those exist. They should still be out there. I can shoot you the links.
Yeah, that'd be great. And I'll search for it, too. That's because that would be awesome.
It was pretty fun. Crazy day. He had just opened. He had all kinds of media there. It was... you know, pressure under, you know, he was under fire, but very graceful, you know.
Nice.
He's just, Rod's one of these people, that just can, you know, he's a wonderful interview. Great sound bites out of him. You know, he just really knows how to get to the meat of it. I would advise you here to be sure to hit the sides too, because he's really, this is a modern barbecue, excuse me, a modern barbecue restaurant. It is just, you know, we're looking at sides that are white bean cassoulet. You know, we've got herbs, we've got dessert, we've got a bar, we've got craft cocktails.
So but I think that also, like we talked about earlier, that the progression of barbecue, it's that it's not necessarily elevated, because that's kind of a silly thing to say, but it's different. And I think that sides are becoming more important, even in Texas. Like it's because it's for the, it's the whole entire meal as opposed to just the meats. Because I think too, to stand out, you don't, a lot of people can do meat really well now. And so they, it's kind of the,
I think sides are a big part of my game.
Yeah, for me too.
And you know, I think also having, you know, he has salmon salad and things like that. And I remember the first time I was doing a review there and I saw this woman over at the other table ordering that. And I thought, what the heck? Why would you do that? I mean, we're not known for salmon barbecue here necessarily. But here's the deal. Any of these restaurants that are opening up have to have a wide clientele base.
Sure.
And so I look around and I see her three sons. They're all eating ribs. She's eating a salad. Okay, that's the way that the family stays together, right?
Yeah, no, they could actually go to places that they enjoy. It's difficult. There's a lot of people that are married to a vegan or vegetarian.
Yeah.
Or a child that doesn't eat meat, yeah.
Exactly. And so you come here and it's also a full service restaurant feel to it, because you can get appetizers. You can sit at the bar and get a craft cocktail. You can get a microbrew. You can, you know.
So smart.
This is elevated barbecue dining, but I think he's still very true to, you know, we haven't gussied it up so much that we don't know it's barbecue. Mm-hmm. Still tastes smoke, still doing a really nice job. But one of the really interesting things when I got to go in the kitchen with him is he is using, you know, cookers. There's no brick pits. In fact, the spot he's in out south used to be Hayward's.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it had a brick pit. And Rob did rip it out. He didn't need that. He wants his clean, orderly pits where he can teach other people, because they're not always called pit masters anymore.
Mm-hmm. The cooks.
You know, how to cook. So the whole evolution of barbecue, I think, is seen in this restaurant.
Okay.
Time, temperature. He knows all of that. It's not a little bit of a poke and a shove and a sit there all night kind of thing. This is modern barbecue, just the new wave. And
consistency, probably.
Consistency, that's exactly what he says. And cleanliness. He doesn't want the soot on his ovens. He wants his ovens cleaned out every single day. And they need to be spotless, you know. So you're gonna get differences of opinions with pit masters, but the point being that, you know, we've got different ways to cook barbecue these days, and the more meat we eat, well, the faster and the quicker and the more time sensitive, mm-hmm. I guess, it becomes. So this is a great example of that. And he's doing a wonderful job. And
well, it's not fair. I don't think it's fair to disparage someone for cooking the way that they cook, as long as the product and the love is there. It's just, it's a different style. It's things, not everyone can have an offset smoker or be outside or be able to, or yeah, like you said, spend the entire night. It's not always feasible.
Right. I mean, if you want to run a, you know, very successful operation. Mm-hmm. And so that's the difference. I mean, I think we've done a trip through family owned and very mom and pop, all the way to, you know, very, very serious barbecue entrepreneurs who really know how to run a restaurant first and foremost. And they just happen to love barbecue.
Yeah, definitely.
So make that their passion. So that's kind of my tour. I mean, I could think of a whole bunch more.
Oh, but that's a great tour.
I think
tour.
You're up to here, right?
So far, we could do part two, three, down the line. But I so appreciate this. I knew this would be a great interview, and I knew your wealth of knowledge, but I didn't realize the depth of, like, how wonderfully interesting this was, especially knowing how rich Kansas City's history is with barbecue. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
You're welcome. I love barbecue. As I think you know, I'm no longer at the Kansas City Star. I left there in December due to a layoff. And so I'm out there, doing new things, but I'm hopeful that barbecue down the road might, be something that I get to do from a historic standpoint, from a public relations standpoint, from a journalist writing story standpoint. So I'll keep you up to date with what I'm working on.
I think you have the knowledge and you have the passion. I think something like that is going to happen for you. I think so.
Yeah. Well, barbecue is one of my passion areas. I have others, but that is definitely a big one. So next time you come to town, I would say, let me know and we'll go dining with my barbecue BFFs. I have two of them, and I'm starting to hashtag everything with barbecue BFF.
Okay.
So you can kind of find my stuff. I go out a lot with Artie Davis.
Oh, yeah.
And that one other person I'd want to plug, because he's actually written a guide. And Artie, if you don't know him, he started the sauce contest for the American Royal on his patio in Roland Park. And I will have to credit him as, saying that he has taught me so very much about what I know about barbecue. So, I just make him my buddy when I go out, and we share notes. And
he's so great. He's an idol of mine.
He's an idol. He's an icon. He's just so cool. And I'm really lucky to call him my friend for sure. And I would definitely recommend, his 9 or 10 places that he would take you might differ from the ones that, I took you to. We agree on a lot, but we disagree on some too.
Well, I would like to reach out to him, but I would love to, when next time I visit, which hopefully is sooner than later, hopefully in the next 2 months, I'll reach out ahead of time. I would love to have lunch and go around with you. That'd be great.
Yeah, it'd be a lot of fun. And I've left some off. So any of the barbecue places that watch this that I left off, I love you. There just wasn't enough time.
There's never enough time. There's always going to be someone left off too.
Yeah, just already things are popping in. Oh, I should have said Woodyard. Oh, I should have said Johnny's. Oh, what about Rosedale's? So there's more.
Well, you just did. So that way that.
So part two,
Two, yes.
I guess that's why we look a little different, huh? Different clothes today.
A little bit. Yeah, definitely. I'm wearing a different shirt and a clean shirt. Yes, of course.
There you go. Me too. I thought about wearing the old one, but hey.
You know what's funny is I'm trying to think. I talked to Ray Lampe, I think, or some. So I talked to somebody, and they actually washed and wore the same shirt because it was a
two-day. That's so funny.
Yeah.
That would be Dr. Barbecue's. Yeah. He's so good about media video. Mm-hmm. He would know that. I thought about it, and then I was like, Kevin doesn't care.
No, I don't care. And it's actually, I'll mention the fact that you wanted to add something, so that way it makes sense too if there's a little jump.
So you wanted to talk LCs.
Yes.
As I recall.
Yes.
Do you care what order we go in? Or are you ready?
Not at all. We can just jump in right now. Yeah.
Okay. So LCs is pretty famous. One of the first times I went there was with Calvin Trillin when he was in town. And Calvin's the hometown boy, obviously. So he was interested. Larry Fats Goldberg, a good friend of his who appears in many of his books, had suggested he needed to get over to LC's. So he asked if we could meet there for our interview for one of his books. And we headed over there. The interesting thing about this particular restaurant is the Brick Pit. Once again, a Bill Cheney Brick Pit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That'd be fun to do a tour of all of it. Well, he probably doesn't have as many left as he used to.
Yeah, probably not quite as many. I was looking back in my records from the article I did about 2 years ago, and he had about 20.
Oh, wow.
So that's quite a few. Over time, we may lose some of those, but it's a pretty good number, good legacy.
You could do a hashtag, save the pits or something.
Save the brick pits.
Save the brick pits.
Not those barbecue ovens, as he calls them. He's not real fond of barbecue ovens.
Okay, so they have one of his pits.
Yeah. So when Bill and I went there recently, because of course they're friends. LC Richardson is the pit master, and he's in his 80s as well. Mm-hmm. So they grew up kind of knowing each other. Well, actually, I think Elsie actually came much later in life, but they've been hanging out together. So not since boyhood, but for a long time.
Okay.
And so Elsie sits in the restaurant and he has sort of an open office, basically. He does his paperwork at one of the tables on the side wall,
That's great.
where he can view the TV because he's a big sports fan. So you'll see a lot of sports players in there
Okay.
at different times, particularly the Chiefs. He's a big fan of the Chiefs.
That's cool.
So, sat down and hung out with him for a little while and, just talked about you. And I think if he's there, he's more than willing to talk to people.
Oh, that's great.
So a fun place. Nothing fancy. Nothing fancy about LCs at all, but you'll see it coming down the road. It's on your way to the stadium, Arrowhead Stadium,
Okay.
and you'll see billowing smoke coming out of the stack. So you'll know you're in the right place. Pull up and go inside and say hi.
It's
It's a
counter
really fun.
service.
It's counter service, yes, and there are tables you can sit at. And like I said, LC's usually at one of them.
That's so great. I would love to meet him. I'm sure anybody else would.
Yeah, he was a corporate chef for Farmland Industries, and then decided when he took early retirement that he was going to open up a barbecue place. There have been rumors that he would open another one. I haven't checked in with him in a while, but I haven't heard any news about that. Bill was hoping he could build another brick pit at the new place, but not sure if that's happening or not. So,
How long has it been since Bill built a pit?
that's a good question. I'm not really exactly sure on that.
Been a while,
It's probably, I was going to say, it's probably been, I'd say, more than a decade,
More than,
for sure. Yeah, we might be getting on 2 decades. I think the last one he built was over on Warnell Road, and that barbecue place is no longer. So I'm not sure what the space is being used for, but I think that might have been his last one.
Well, are there any others that you thought of since we spoke that you wanted to add other than Elsie's?
You wanted to talk wood yard, right?
Yes, I did.
Because you like wood. Tell me about this.
Yeah, I've got an interesting fascination with wood. I love I love what it imparts in when you cook with live fire, and then also just the aesthetics and how beautiful wood stacked looks. And when you go to a massive wood yard, it's impressive, and people do they have a lot of they put a lot of tender love and care into their wood yards, and if they do care about wood, and it's great. And I'm going to be speaking with them. So what can you tell me about wood yard?
So Woodyard is, they started as a woodyard and became a barbecue later.
Makes
So
sense.
yeah, it does. After a while, you probably want to join in the fun.
It's not
So
fair.
they have lots of different stacks of wood out back. When you go in, it's kind of a funky old building, kind of a joined. They've done some remodeling lately, and so there's a little house, and then there's sort of a little corridor hallway, and it takes you to a larger dining room. The pit is outside, so you can see that going and smoking. You park around back, so that's where you see the wood piles. I think a lot of people don't even notice that they're there, quite honestly. If you're looking for it, there's oak, hickory, apple, pecan, cherry, the whole thing. Now, I will say in Kansas City, we're pretty heavily hickory and oak. The other woods are more for, finishing flavor, used on just maybe one or two items as opposed to most of the menu.
Well, now is there outdoor seating as well as indoor seating there?
There's a little bit of patio seating, and then there's the indoor seating. They have been the subject of diners, drive-ins and dives, if I've got that
You did get
in
it
the
right.
correct
That's what that
order.
that's I think that's where I first saw them too.
And a lot of people who come through town put them on their list. I think, because partly because of the visual of the wood yard, they do some fun things. They have a lot of specials, and their burnt end chili is pretty well known.
Oh, that's cool. I love chili.
So playing around with it a little bit. It's a nice place to go. It's on Merriam Lane, so it's kind of, again, sort of a little bit of a more industrial neighborhood. There are houses around there, but it's not too far off the interstate, Interstate 35. So easy to get to. If you want to keep going down the road from there east back towards downtown where we were earlier, then you'll probably want to hit Rosedale's, which
Okay.
is the oldest continually running barbecue by a family.
Really?
So on their website it says 80, I think it's 83 years. Let me double
I looked
check
at them
that.
a little while ago. Yeah, okay.
I think it's 83 years.
Wow.
So that's a good long time. It's being run now by Marisha Brown Smith, who is the granddaughter of
Okay.
the original founder. And they founded themselves on buckets of beer and hot dogs and sort of morphed into barbecue over time.
That does happen sometimes.
It does happen. That's a fun place to go. It's again real old school feels. It's pretty much counter service. Then you sit down and you can eat on a long table, a short table. A lot of fans there. Always people up near the bar area.
Oh, it's definitely worth a visit that for just for the historical sense too.
Absolutely, absolutely. And they recently won a crinkle fries contest. one of those popular vote contests. So, for those people who are into their sides and their fries, that is one of those strange little crinkle cuts, Not you don't see a lot of those
You don't see
around.
those. I remember there was a place when I was in high school that had them, and for some reason I craved them all the time. That's really funny.
Well, as fans of these crinkle cuts appear to crave them because they put them at number one on a popular survey. So,
That's so
who are we
funny.
to say that the people are wrong? They are right.
Yeah, well, but I think if someone was a fry aficionado, I think they would not be they'd be offended that I was even a fan of those.
They're fat fries,
Yeah.
so if you like the skinny fries, you're not
Out of
into those.
luck.
But they're fun.
I was gonna ask you, are there any places that are closed? I didn't mention this earlier, that people just so that way people have a heads up that they're not that they don't exist anymore. They might have heard about them 4 or 5 years ago.
Let's
Like
see. Well,
famous
there's
ones. Are there any
always
famous ones that don't
some
exist anymore?
coming and going. Who would be really good to do an interview with? It would be Artie Davis because he keeps a graveyard list.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll reach out.
So he knows a lot
Okay.
of the different ones that have closed over time.
That would be a nice. Just because it would be helpful. I want to make this as much of a resource as possible.
He keeps a really good running tally on it.
Nice.
Off the top of my head, I can't
Okay.
think of
Okay. Well, I'll
anybody
ask
who.
him. That'll be something I ask him.
So keep heading down Southwest Boulevard from Rosedale, and you would get to Danny Edwards. Danny's is an interesting one. His dad started the original. He had a place down by the Sprint Center, and it was the cutest little thing. It was there's a cement pig outside, which was I think he's supposed to rub his nose for good luck or something. It was anyway, it was distinctive. He told people to go to the place with the big pig. And inside there were only 12 seats. It was just a really funky small little joint. And he cooked on the side of this little, I believe it was a brick building if I remember correctly.
Okay.
At any rate, progress. When they came in and put in the Sprint Center, instead of building around him, which I think would have been the best
Yeah, that'd be
solution
so
of
nice.
all, he did move over to Southwest Boulevard. So he's got a new place, newer place there. It's been a couple years now. He's also been on a lot of the TV shows, Diners, Drives, Dive, that one.
Triple D, I guess.
He's been on a lot of shows. He had a group of English guys from I don't even remember where, I think in London actually, came to town, and they wanted to go there. One of the things that's very distinctive about Danny, speaking of fries, is that he has the sweet potato fries,
Oh, okay.
which I really like.
Yeah, those are really good.
And he has a great sampler platter. Ribs are very good. Lots of different specials. It's kind of a fun dining room. It's got that corrugated tin feel to it.
Ah, I love that.
And Danny's there quite often
Cool.
to talk to. So, kind of a
Excellent.
fun place to go.
Nice. And anywhere else that you missed?
Johnny's.
Okay.
I would give you Johnny's. Johnny's is kind of okay. We're zigzagging again. We're back out in Mission. Johnny's is real interesting. It's a fun place to go because if it's the right Wednesday of the month, and you can ask Artie which Wednesday that is, but the Kansas City Barbecue Society folks have lunch there. And it's just a sort of standing lunch date. And so you just see people, you know, it could be a small table, it could be a gigantic table, depending on who shows up that day. And another reason I really like Johnny's is Johnny decided that he was going to honor Artie with his Remus sandwich. And I think Artie has a nom de grille, a persona that he uses to swear people in when they're judging contests. And he wears a bowler hat and he's got the, what do you call that front piece,
Oh, that, yeah, I know that
got
one though.
bones on it. You know, he looks like a meat cutter from, you know, the late 1800s, early 1900s. That's kind of his little outfit. And his persona is Remus Powers. It's an alter ego. Very fun. So Johnny decided he was going to have a sandwich for Artie. And it is a pulled pork sandwich with pimento cheese,
Oh wow, interesting.
which is kind of unusual
Yeah.
in this part of Kansas City. I mean, that's more of a southern
For
thing, I
sure, yeah, the
think.
pimento cheese for sure.
So it was on a toasted Kaiser bun for a while, and I love that. But for some reason, they couldn't keep the buns going, so they switched over to a wrap. So, you know, kind of modernized it a little bit, but it's still a good sandwich.
Okay. I'm not the hugest fan of wraps, but I'm sure that sandwich is good.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, I give everybody points for trying new things. Tacos, wraps, bowls. I
For sure.
mean, you
And
got to try it.
I'm surprised, like a lot of times there's something that doesn't fit what I'm interested in, but then it turns out to be fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. The other great thing about Johnny is he knows a lot of history and he grew up surrounded around lots of different barbecue joints, many of those that are on the graveyard list. Johnny actually trained as a boy at Rosedale's. But when he was very young, his grandma lived up the street from a place called, and I'm going to check my notes on this because I don't want to get it wrong, but it is a tire place, L&M Tire. L&M Tire used to be actually a butcher shop, and it was the Meisner family. And so the Meisner, let's see, I'm going to double check on the name here. It was Fred Slick Meisner who had the butcher shop that was down the street from Johnny's grandma. So he also knew the gentleman who, the son, and the son is now 85-year-old Larry Meisner. So Larry turned it into a tire store eventually. But he recalls during an interview that we did with him that there were four different barbecue joints right on that one block.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I mean, they had names like Fatty Sharp and Slick and, you know, just different names like that. So you can only imagine in this one little spot, in this one little piece of town, that there were four right on that
That is
corner.
really neat. I wonder if they have photos somewhere you could find of that would be really
Yeah,
cool.
they do. Actually, I think it's on my Instagram account. I ran a picture of it. They have it posted on the wall what the butcher shop looked like when it was a barbecue joint. And I asked Larry what he remembered from that, and he said smoked meatloaf was his favorite that
Oh,
his dad.
interesting. That's
Yeah,
unique.
it is very unique. And so Johnny introduced us to Larry, and it's just been a really interesting eye-opener to think, wow, there are so many of these, you know, barbecue joints that have come and gone, contributed in their time. And you know, people don't really know about them.
Yeah, that's so sad. They laid the foundation for what exists today and changed the flavor profiles of what people are expecting. And well, I love that. I love the history of anything like that.
Yeah, so It was, it was a great time. I would never have known. I've driven by that tire shop. I can't tell you how many times. Never occurred to me it was once a thriving barbecue, you know. So it's sort of those graveyard ones that are taken care of. That was one of the reasons that we went over there. But what a fun afternoon, to just sit there in the middle of the tire shop and kind of reminisce with an old timer
Yeah,
about
and
what.
learn so much. And it's nice that you're passing that on. That lives on with what you just said right now. So that's really cool.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So I think that's kind of.
Excellent.
Oh, wait, I
Oh,
have one more to throw
cool.
in,
Okay.
but this is just oddball
Okay.
in a way. It's not a barbecue shop, it's barbecue ice cream.
Oh, wow. Okay. What's
Barbecue ice
that?
cream has arrived to Kansas City. It is truly barbecue ice cream
Okay. Where is
by one
this?
of the hottest ice cream makers in Kansas City. He's an artisanal ice cream maker,
Okay.
and he decided that a barbecue ice cream was not weird and did not need to be something we only dream about. He went ahead and he made it. And he called the folks over at Oklahoma Joe or Joe's KC, I should say. Look at me, I'm an old timer. I keep calling them Oklahoma
It's
Joe's.
okay.
Joe's KC. He called them, said, "Hey, can I get some of your burnt ends?" They said, "Sure." And he worked out a really cool burnt end ice cream that he introduced last summer. It's going to be a seasonal thing. And it's really interesting because I tasted it and I went, oh my gosh, why does the world not have more barbecue ice cream?
Oh.
Serious. And all of a sudden, when I said that, all the puke emojis came up on Instagram and everywhere else I'd posted it. And I'm like, seriously? Have you tried it? You
If
know?
you haven't tried it and that sweet and savory, there's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, it's really excellent. It's really excellent.
Where
So
is he located?
okay, so he's over in the Brookside neighborhood. A little bit of a drive. He always has lines. He also has a food truck, so keep your eyes peeled for that.
Okay. It's
So
only
just
during
kind of a
summer.
nice way to end
Yeah,
your
that's like a
barbecue.
dessert. Yeah, it's a dessert.
Dessert barbecue. For those of us who just can't get enough barbecue.
I think that's great. I'll put links to. Thank you so much. And that's only available during summer, right? Summer months.
Yeah, he said he was going to make it seasonal.
Okay.
He introduced it last, I think it was July or August, if I recall correctly. And he had it on the menu for a couple months. And he said he was going to kind of make it sort of, I think, around American Royal time, summer and American
Okay.
Royal time is a good time to have it. And then he goes on to other things and comes back to it.
That's
So.
cool. Well, thank you for that. This has been a pleasure. I really do appreciate it and an honor to speak with you and just to get so much knowledge and history. I so appreciate it.
Well, thank you. It's been fun. I appreciate the time and I hope a lot of people watch this.
I know they'll love it. Whoever does watch it, and I know a lot of people will watch it. I think that Kansas City too, for a lot of people, it just seems so overwhelming. So this helps kind of pare it down and make sense of it.
We are kind of coming on strong, aren't we?
Definitely, and
And
that's a good
there's
thing.
more. There's so much more. We could talk in 6 months and the scene, may have a lot of new ones popping up. There's
I'd
always,
love to do that.
yeah, there's always somebody new, and there's also restaurants that aren't particularly barbecue restaurants, but decide that they're going to have a couple of barbecue options. So that's, another trail altogether.
Yeah, we could talk like the whole meat trail too. That could be something too that we get into. But thank you so much. Have a great rest of your day. Have a nice weekend, and I'll get this over to you when I get it done.
All right. Thanks so much. It was
Thank you,
fun
Joe.
talking to you.
It was great talking to you. Thanks.